Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Geez, that looks like tomorrow I'll be shoveling 10 feet of global warming.
Global warming can cause weather at both extremes, hot and cold.
I see, so you're saying warming makes it colder. Well, aren't you the queen of crazy land? Everything's the opposite of everything. La-di-da-di-da. I'm Lisa Simpson. La-di-da-di-da.
Really? Really? Mm-hmm. All right.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business's people and their love for trees, and by Allsup Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I'm having the same problem with the microphone that Mike Sanders had. It's flopping on me here. It's flopping all over the place. Dennis, save me.
April Fool's Day's a little late, I guess. Little late here.
Yeah. You can turn your mic up just a tad.
There we go.
There we go. That's good. Nice. And I probably shouldn't do that because you're more resonant than I am. I'm the show host. Nobody is supposed to be more resonant than the show host.
Yeah. That was the philosophy I was going with.
Yeah. You know, when I had Carl Zimring on here last week, I listened to the podcast. I put the podcast up. And you can always get podcasts at MikeNovak.net if you miss a show or miss part of it and you want to hear it over again. And some of you, I know, want to listen to it over and over and over again. And just, you know, and while you're jogging.
Maybe that's good.
To keep you from hurling while you're exercising. Yeah. Or to make you hurl while you're exercising. I don't know.
Or to make you recycle.
Or to make you recycle. Right. Yeah, all right. So Carl Zimring is on last week, and I go back and listen to the podcast, and he sounds more radio than I do. He just has that
he
voice.
He was on it.
He's like, "Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about recycling. I'm a professor at Roosevelt University, and I have the most resonant tones you've ever heard."
It was not his first radio.
No, he's actually been in the biz.
Yeah.
So he gets it. He knows how to work a microphone. And speaking of that, I was on the U yesterday.
You on the U?
Me too on the U.
Oh, wow.
Me three. Yeah, on George Blaze's program, 26 North Halsted. Of course, it was 6:30 in the morning, and I was going to get up and then watch the show and then call into Mighty House and let them know that I was going to be at the Green Metropolis Fair yesterday because I spoke about organic gardening. And so I got up and I watched the show. I thought it went pretty well. And then fell asleep. Woke up at 10, missed Mighty House. Oh, well. That's the way those things go, you know. Just, there's a lot to do. So welcome, folks. I don't know today. Well, I'm feeling a little bit like Alanis Morissette. I'm happy and I'm sad.
Oh, I thought you had one hand in your pocket.
Yeah, the other one's flipping you the bird. And that's only to the people in Evergreen Park who decided to. And if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, you will see photos of a travesty. And that is 45 acres of land that was bulldozed and cut to put up a shopping mall. You know, Dennis, I thought we were past that point. I thought we were past the point where we just raped the land because we can. And on the south side there at Evergreen Park, 91st and Western, there was a golf course. I know because I actually played there a couple of times, like, I don't know, a couple of decades ago. Municipal course, nice, not too spectacular, but beautiful trees. Lovely old-growth trees that had been there for a long, long time. Well, I don't know the full story, and that's why the second hour I'm going to have Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserve, on the show to sort of get the full story out. For those of you who live in the area and you know the full story, I'd like to see what you post on Facebook. You can go to The Mike Novak Show or on Twitter. My handle is Mike Now, MikeNow. But the point is, last week, and this had been in negotiations, as a developer wanted to put in a shopping mall where there's 100 acres of this old land and these graceful old trees, and they wanted to take half of it and put in a shopping mall. Problem is, first of all, you're cutting to do it, you have to cut down all these trees. Second, there's vacant land. There's an unused strip mall down the block and an unused car dealership down the block.
You never have enough strip malls, apparently.
That's apparently right. Now, don't want to name names, but Meijer and Menards are scheduled to go into this new mall. Here's my dilemma, Dennis. I don't know whether I can ever walk into a Meijer or a Menards again. I can tell you that after the Exxon Valdez, you won't catch me dead purchasing gas from Mobil, Exxon. I would rather my car run out of gas and I push it myself to wherever it needs to go than stop at a Mobil, Exxon Mobil. And I've kept that up for 23 years now.
Standing strong.
You know, I know. I have a long memory when it comes to vendettas. And now I'm feeling that way about Meijer and Menards. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. You don't want me ever to shop in your place ever, ever again because you're this stupid. Okay, fine. But we're going to find out more. So before I go off and lock myself out of Menards and Meijers, we'll have Benjamin Cox, Friends of the Forest Preserves, here second hour to talk about this mess. As I said, it's a travesty. The problem is that the trees are gone in 45 acres. Half of it they're saving, apparently, but the other half has already been cut. Maybe there still is a chance there won't be a shopping mall. I don't know. I don't believe that. I think it'll all happen and the bulldozers will come and they'll pave it over. You know, the other thing I'm going to say to Meijer and Menards, you're going to put impermeable pavers in the parking lot? What are you going to do now? What are you going to give back now that you've taken down the trees? What is it? What is it that is so important that you need to sell plastic Chinese junk on that spot? Really?
That's essentially probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But that's Benjamin's in the 10 o'clock hour?
Yes.
Okay.
He's in the 10 o'clock
hour. That'll be interesting.
All right. So that's my warm-up for that. In this hour, though, and we've got Margaret on the phone. We'll get to her in just a second. Margaret Frisbee, Executive Director of Friends of the Chicago River. See, now I was talking about my Alanis Morissette moment because I'm happy and I'm sad at the same time. Happy that the 20th anniversary of Chicago River Day is being celebrated this year. We'll talk about that in just a second. Then later this hour, Kathleen Harder from All Seasons Apple Orchard is going to talk about how perhaps our apple crop is not going to be so good this year because remember how warm it got? Remember how warm it got? and then the trees bloomed. And remember how we just had a freeze in the past week? We may have lost a few apples, may have lost a lot of apples. So I will talk to her about that, leading into Rick DeMaio. Actually, Rick is the one who got a hold of her, so that's cool. And then second hour, as I said, Benjamin Cox, executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. And then Anna Garcia Doyle. There's a Green Film Fest coming up later this month. One Earth Film Fest presented by Green Community Connections around Oak Park and River Forest. And we'll talk about the movies that are going to be part of that. So all that being said, we go to the phone line and bring in Margaret Frisbee, executive director of Friends of the Chicago River. How you doing, Margaret?
I'm great, Mike. How are you today?
Okay. Hey, you get an echo. Maybe I'll give you away a prize. You're the good part of what's going on this morning, which is a celebration of the will of the people to fix something that was not good, and meaning the Chicago River. You know, as I say on my website, you're on a roll. So I say, roll on, great river.
Well, absolutely. And, Mike, that's a wonderful way to put it. When Friends was founded 32 years ago, people couldn't even believe anyone was interested in helping the Chicago River because they thought it was so far gone, it wasn't savable. And the fact is people banded together and said, it's not right, and we're going to work together to change it. And even what happened this week is just tells you that people can make a real difference. We're thrilled. I'm sure everyone heard that the governor announced $10 million to work on disinfection.
Well, maybe everybody didn't hear that. And I did post that link on my website, if you go to this week's show. That is really good news that the state is going to chip in into the disinfection. In fact, the other part of that good news is something I heard a few weeks ago, where the cost of the disinfection isn't going to be as much as everybody originally thought.
In fact, really, the cost isn't that far different than what we thought it would be. There were different estimates using different technologies, and the environmental groups, Friends of the Chicago River included, were supporting and believing that the figures that US EPA put forth were more accurate, and it turns out that's really the case. And so it's about $139 million to disinfect at the two of the three plants, the high-priority plants, the ones that people are really recreating downstream from. And so it's really terrific. We think that, well, the MWRD assures us that the technology will be in place by the end of 2015. So in spring of 2016, when those kids get out on the river for rowing in March 1st, that water will be really much, much cleaner.
You know, I want to go back, though, to the cost of the disinfection, because that's a cautionary tale for anybody who's fighting for the environment. We all were told that, oh no, it's going to cost $1 billion to get this cleaned up. We can't have that happen. We can't disinfect the river. And this was the line that was thrown at people like me and you. And to your credit, your organization, Friends of the Chicago River, was saying, no, we really don't think it's going to be that much. But, you know, the scaremongers were out there saying, no, we can't possibly afford this. We can't clean up the river. That's sort of what's used for all environmental programs now, is that no, we can't possibly afford it. Well, guess what? It turns out it didn't cost that much at all. And you were right. And I think that when people move forward and try to have environmental programs passed, they ought to take what you guys learned from this into account, that the numbers are always going to be inflated on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important, Mike, to get that news out there, because when people are trying to fight change, or they really don't want to, they don't have the same vision. I mean, I think that's what we were talking about, is that it was a difference of vision for the Chicago River. And so, you know, if you're marshaling evidence, you're going to use everything you have to stop something. And we were saying, hey, look up, look past this, look towards the future. This river can be, you know, it's a wonderful resource for people, for wildlife. It can be an economic asset to the city and to the county, and the money that you're putting into it is absolutely worthwhile, but you don't have to be afraid of change, and you have to consider investment, but do it honestly and do it, you know, think about what we really need as opposed to piling, you know, everything including the kitchen sink on as part of the cost, which I think is what happened initially.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm going to take a short break here. We're going to see if we can get a better phone line. I don't know if you can hear it on your end, but it's not too good here.
Yeah, nope, sorry, I can't hear it, so.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you can't. I can, and I really don't even know if it is this, Dennis, is this going out like this?
Yeah, we'll take care of it after
okay,
the break.
Okay, we'll fix it. Margaret Frisbee, Friends of the Chicago River, we will be right back with her. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. There's change a-brewing in Chicago. More and more people are growing their own food, especially in the city. And something else is changing. Grand Street Gardens is now Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. Write that down. What does it mean? Well, some things you've never seen in a garden center, like beehives and chicken coops, along with everything you're used to in a great garden center. In fact, I ran into Christy Weber yesterday at the Green Metropolis Fair. It was at the Green Exchange on Diversey. She told me the beehives are in. So if you're interested in raising an insect that is crucial to our survival on this planet, I'm just saying, if you want to help out, keep us alive, that'd be good. You might want to stop by and talk to their bee experts. At Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, the cool season veggies are in. They have lettuces, broccoli, sugar snap peas, and more. And new stock arrives every day. Again, the change, the new name, Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village, and it's right in your own backyard.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Are you passionate about health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, personal growth, or living a more sustainable and green lifestyle? Then pick up your free copy of Natural Awakenings magazine throughout the city of Chicago and northern and northwestern suburbs. Natural Awakenings is available at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, retail locations, and wherever free publications are found. Natural Awakenings is your local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and complementary medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, a local events calendar, and so much more. Natural Awakenings is also the perfect way for advertisers to reach health-conscious and green readers that actively support like-minded businesses and service providers. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Pick up your copy of Natural Awakenings at more than 800 area locations or read it online at nachicagonorth.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato, and then I say Dr. Earth's tomato or tomato, vegetable and herb fertilizer. It's an organic blend and it contains fish bone meal, which will provide your tomatoes with proper calcium and prevent blossom end rot. Dr. Earth's tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer is also packed with 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, which help make nutrients available to your plants. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you, and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like, and you'll get organic updates. Now, we were talking about environmental issues and continue to do that. Faced with slashed city budgets for tree plantings, infestations of the emerald ash borer, and damage from ever-increasingly severe storms, the city's urban forest is in critical need, and Openlands is ready for the challenge. Openlands has launched an initiative to plant 1,000 trees in the city of Chicago by April 26th. 2013, Arbor Day. That's the Arbor Day next year. And Openlands needs your support. How can you get involved? Round up your friends and family and join Open Lands at a special tree planting of the season on Earth Day, April 21st, this year, 2012, at Rainbow Beach Park's Dunes area, where Open Lands will plant 12 black oak trees. Not able to make it on Earth Day planting? Well, there are plenty of opportunities for you to get your hands dirty. To learn more about all of the volunteer work days, go to openlands.org or ask your employer about a volunteer work day to plant trees with Open Lands. Join Open Lands today in this important initiative. For more information, go to openlands.org. Open Lands, conserving nature for life.
Every once in a winter, bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before that name goes on.
So I get a feeling that this is the song they'll be playing as they cut the red tape at that new shopping mall down at Evergreen Park. It's like it's the perfect song for that. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Margaret Frisbee, executive director of the Friends of the Chicago River. Margaret, you have to be very proud that in 20 years you've gone from, you know, dragging mattresses off the side of the river in plastic bags and bottles to getting the attention of the state and money to disinfect the river. It's been a wholesale change in 20 years, hasn't it?
Well, you know, it's funny, Mike, it's been a wholesale change, it feels like, to us in just the last year with 19 years of work leading up to it. So
yeah,
we've really got the attention of the world in the last year, which has been so exciting. But it's the foundation of it is all the people who have worked so hard and never gave up all these years.
Yeah, you kind of reached critical mass, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, really, it is the tipping point last year when USEPA said, you know what, we're going to have to let people swim in the Chicago River.
And oh,
that's
no!
The kind of break, you know, but it's possible. It is absolutely possible. And that's the kind of break that, you know, when your advocates who are have a vision, are excited about where you're going, know that these things are possible, and people keep telling you they're not, you say, you know what, yes, they are. We can do anything. We can send people to outer space. We can, you know, invent all kinds of crazy technologies that we're all connected all the time. We can certainly make the Chicago River clean enough to swim in, and we're going to. That's going to happen.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I believe that. I mean, you know, just do the right thing. And if other cities can do it, other major cities can do it, why can't we?
Right, exactly. And so this week on Thursday, Governor Quinn announced that they're putting in $10 million from Illinois First Job Money. And what that is saying is that the Chicago River is something that, you know, the technologies that we're going to need to disinfect sewage effluent from the treatment plants. That's jobs. That's part of our economy. It's not, you know, people often talk about how the environment is separate. You know, there's all of our lives day to day we go through. We think about school and jobs and work and, you know, highways and all these things that are part of core infrastructure. But the Chicago River is part of our infrastructure, and the environment is not something else. It's part of our day to day life. It's the air we breathe. It's the water we drink. It's how we recreate. And we need to integrate it into our thinking. And I think that's the step that Governor Quinn made this week, and it was backed up by Lisa Jackson, Mayor Emanuel, who all said that the Chicago River is part of our core infrastructure, and we need to value it, and we need to invest in it.
You know, you've got all that information, and I've put it up on my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, but in celebration of the 20 years and the critical mass that you've just reached, you're going to celebrate with 20 days of festivities from April 23rd through May 12th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's really fun. There's something for everybody. So Friends of the Chicago River, to celebrate how far should the Chicago River has come and the people who have been part of the process, we decided that we would celebrate the 20th anniversary of Chicago River Day with these 20 days. And so each day we have some kind of signature event, and they're all over the board. We have a Chicago River Downtown Canyons pub crawl. We have a Chicago River Green Deed. You were mentioning trees and how critical trees are. We're partnering with the Chicago Park District to encourage people to sponsor the planting of trees in River Edge Parks. We've got the Chicago River Summit this year, which is taking place at Hotel 71 with, I mean, a top star panel.
Yeah, I saw it. In fact, you've asked me. I'm going to try to be there myself, but that alone is a pretty spectacular event.
Yeah, we've got – so it's moderated by Jeffrey Baer, who people know very well for being a Chicago River enthusiast and expert on WTTW. So he's our moderator. And then it's a conversation about the Chicago River and its future, you know, kind of what the impacts are between – Congressman Mike Quigley, who's certainly been a river enthusiast for many, many years. In fact, he's been a Chicago River Day site captain for us, where he's volunteered and, you know, handed out T-shirts and got people to sign, you know, waivers and all the things that are important when you run a big event like that. We have Laurel Ross, who people know very well, both from her role at the Field Museum and with Chicago Wilderness. And then there's a person named Mitchell Joachim, and he's from New York, and he's a real star character. He's you know, looks at the environment and urban landscapes in a different way. He's designed urban tree houses. He's designed floating gardens that went up the Hudson. He's really done this really unusual melding between how the urban landscape and the environment actually are linked. And so these people are going to talk about, you know, how the Chicago River is not separate from the city. It's not separate from the forest preserves. It's not separate from the suburbs. And so how are they entwined and what's meaningful about that and how can we appreciate it better? I think it's going to be a panel that no one's ever going to forget.
And then it goes on and on for a few more days through May 12th.
And in fact, it's really fun because we've got stuff for people of all ages. There's a river scavenger hunt that you can go online.
That would be a source of jokes right there, talking about the Chicago River scavenger hunt.
No, come on, Mike.
No, I would. I'm just saying in the past, but not now, not anymore.
No, it, you know, it's really, there's six reaches, so it's people, it's all over the Chicago River watershed. And it's really fun, and it's something that families can do, corporate teams can work together. And there's prizes, so if you turn in, excuse me, if you turn in your answers, you get some really great prizes, including free passes to our Bridge House Museum. But it's something that anybody could do. You learn about the river, you have some fun, you get outside. We've got Tattoo Day, so that's we're partnering with Lincoln Park Zoo, Brookfield Zoo, and some Shedd Aquarium, and we're actually handing out little river tattoos with a message about how you can be part of improving the river. And we've got Fish Art and we've got Animal Action Days, but the big picture is that there's something for everybody. We can really all do something. And every single day, there's a calendar on the website that highlights these events, gives you all the background information that you need. But every single day, there's something that you can do at home that will directly impact the Chicago River and make it better. And so that's really the message. We've got, you know, River Day started with 25 volunteers. Now we've got 4,000 volunteers. But where are the other tens of millions, you know, millions of people that live here? Mm-hmm. We want them to participate, and this is the way they can do it.
And at the same time, you can go to chicagoriver.org, or again, if you don't remember that, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show, and I've got a link to that. And you can always contribute to the, you know, as Margaret says, where's everybody? All right. Now, everybody has something to do, but if you had to guess how many people live on or work on the Chicago River, Margaret, have you ever gotten that number?
You know, I can't even begin to think how you calculate it, but if you consider live and work on, imagine those high-rise office buildings on the Chicago River downtown. So, you know, we've got support from major tenants of those buildings. So, you know, clearly Boeing and Navtec and the Merchandise Mart and, you know, all of those corporations are invested in making the river better. But each one of those employees of those companies and the many, many more, I mean, that number is staggering when you think about it.
Absolutely.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So I want everybody to take advantage of this and to get involved. Are you guys doing the Leinenkugel thing again this year, too?
Yeah, we are. We're doing the Canoes for a Cause with Leinenkugel. I think the date is August 4th, and that's something that people who are friends with Leinenkugel, who is a company that really supports clean water, they've done terrific work in Wisconsin, and they're really interested in Chicago because it's a river that needs help, and they recognize it. It's a great paddle, and we paddle down the North Branch to the main stem, and I think if you go to Leinenkugel's website and watch for Canoes for a Cause, people can sign up through them.
I did that last year with Heather Fry, and we just had a great time. But I'll tell you, I'm glad that the announcement came of the disinfection money this year, because it's still a little dicey in certain places in the river, and we still have work to do, don't we?
Yeah, we're I'm not done. I mean, this is a major hurdle for the river, and the fact that the disinfection technologies will be in place in just a couple years is really, really good news. But we still have problems with combined sewer overflows. We're not managing stormwater well yet, so we'd have to really concentrate on getting good rules that require really, really substantial green infrastructure. There's nutrients coming out of those sewage treatment plants. So, you know, our work is still cut out for us, but it's the advancements we've made, the change in the river from where we were just, I mean, literally 10 or 15 years ago, are absolutely tremendous. It's so much cleaner. It's so much better. We can measure it, you know, in numbers of fish with 70 fish species. We can measure it in miles of river trail and all the numbers of canoe liveries and kayak liveries that are out there now. So we know it's making a difference, but we've still got some more stuff to do.
Well, I'm proud of you, Margaret, and the work you've done, and again, the critical mass that that you've reached to get to this point. Yeah, it must have been seemed like it was all uphill, and then suddenly things start to pop, but let's not stop now, eh?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, last year, Senator Durbin said at a press conference about the Chicago River that this is the president's hometown river and we can do better. And that marked a real turning point where people went, you know what, I want to be part of the winning team, and the winning team is on the side of the river now. And that alone for our future, for our river, you know, that marks a whole new future. It paints a different picture, and it's unbelievably exciting for friends and all our members and our board and the many, many, many thousands of volunteers who've been involved all these years.
Well,
so it's a big celebration.
It is, and congratulations to you, Margaret, and keep me posted, and I'm hoping that I can get out on the canoe again this year in August and perhaps participate some other way, but I hope lots more people get on board because it's not too late, and in fact, you know, you didn't have to be there 20 years doing it. You can get on board now. It just become a friend of the Chicago River, and we will move forward, and someday who knows what will be.
Well, we're all going to be swimming. That's what we're going to be doing. That's who knows what.
Exactly. All right. Margaret Frisbee, Executive Director of Friends of the Chicago River. Thanks. We will talk again soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Day. Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Just got a real interesting tweet from my friend Dave Zaber. He said, check your email. Just sent a Menards Enviro primer to me. And then I went and found it. I'm not going to read it now. I'm going to save it for the second hour of the show. Very interesting stuff about Menards. And it's a list of, well, let me just say, environmental problems that they've had. And these are the people that are chopping down trees in Evergreen Park so they can put up another shopping mall. Okie poke. And coming up, some weather news. Not only Rick DeMaio, but we are going to go out to All Seasons Apple Orchard Pumpkin Patch Corn Maze, and that's the whole name of the outfit. Kathleen Harder will be with us and talk about what the cold snap this week might have done to our apple crop. In fact, oh, you've got her already. Okay, we'll get to her in just a second. Until then, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. When buying a tree, bigger isn't necessarily better. Sometimes when we want a tree, we're in a hurry for it to be big. But buying a larger tree at a nursery is probably not the answer. Smaller trees, 2 inches in diameter or less, tend to recover faster from transplant shock, and they outgrow larger diameter trees. You know, I've seen studies that show that you buy a large tree and you get a small tree and you put them next to each other, and in the end, it's a wash. And sometimes the smaller one grows faster because it's got more, it can recover, as they say here, from, because when you dig up a tree to plant it, you're losing a lot of root mass there. Another practical size concern pertains to the root ball. A typical 2-inch diameter tree had, this, I love these statistics. A typical 2-inch diameter tree has a root ball weighing 350 to 400 pounds. If you've ever tried to plant a tree yourself, you know what I'm talking about. The root ball of a 4-inch tree weighs roughly 1,500 pounds. So why wouldn't you choose a smaller tree, especially if you're, you know, asking your friends to help you plant it? Otherwise, okay, well, as well as risking injury to yourself, the tree can suffer when You become too tired to dig a hole big enough for it. It's just all kinds of reasons. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new eco garden center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
And I should mention that Maria from Green Home Experts is going to be on the show 29th, I believe, of April. And we're going to talk about the new business I went out there. It's really cool. And they've got some great stuff. And if you're a serious gardener, especially if you tend to swing over to the organic side of things, you're going to love what Green Home Experts has in stock. They got just fabulous, fabulous products. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Spring is blooming at Allsip Nursery. And right now they have everything you need to get your yard and garden in shape. A great selection of beautiful fruit trees and bushes is now in stock. You'll also find cold hardy pansies at Allsip. Plant them outside now in garden beds or containers for a burst of color. Mine actually overwintered in containers out in front. There were pansies at the Shedd Aquarium when we shot Dig in Chicago there the other week that had overwintered. It's just amazing. And when the ones that overwintered, they're just so lush. But if you don't have that lushness and you didn't plant them last fall, get over to Allsip right now for some of those colors. And if you want to have the best lawn in town, you have to start now. Allsip has all the best brands, including organic fertilizers, grass seed, and weed controls from Jonathan Green. Allsip's preferred and recommended brand. They love Jonathan Green over there. Apply Jonathan Green Crabgrass Preventer plus Green Up Lawn Fertilizer to green your lawn and control crabgrass all season long. So get to Allsip Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, and online at allsipnursery.com. Want to make a point about applying preventive if it's a corn gluten meal. We've actually passed that window. My feeling is go to the fertilizer. Get the organic fertilizer that's not, you know. And the thing about corn gluten meal is, Jonathan Green has a great product and others do. It also has nitrogen in it, about 9% nitrogen. So right at this time of year, because we had such an early spring, you're not going to control that crabgrass because it's already germinated. But you're still going to fertilize your lawn. And you can continue to use that.
All
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We've been talking weather a lot on this show in the last month or so, because mainly it's been pretty crazy weather. And the people who are affected by it are growers. And one of those growers is on the phone right now, and that's Kathleen Harder. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
It's a beautiful Sunday, isn't it? Although a little rainy.
You know what, though? For gardeners, we like that.
Yeah, well, it's been dry, and Rick DeMaio will tell us about that in just a little bit. You're with All Seasons Apple Orchard, Pumpkin Patch Corn Maze, up in McHenry near Woodstock.
Actually, yes. We're in McHenry County in the county seat of Woodstock.
You were quoted in the paper up that way, the Northwest Herald, when they were talking about the weather this past week. As everybody who's been in Chicago and around Chicago knows, it's not been normal. And one of the things that happened, because you have an apple orchard there, is that apples began to blossom early. And we warned folks that the things that started early could take a hit if we got some cold weather. And guess what? The cold weather came this past week. What happened up your way?
Well, we, like everyone else, did experience the weather. And we there is, luckily, a very slight amount of damage. When you're dealing with flowering trees, all stages of the development are affected by frost and by temperature. Luckily, though, we have a couple of innovative methods to keep our orchard a little less susceptible to the frost. However, Mother Nature has the final say on things, and that goes for our orchard and everybody else. So we're not a big setup, something like in Florida where they do have the sprinkler systems, or in other areas, but we do our best because it's not just us, it's also every other grower in McHenry County that has this concern. You know, we want apples come fall.
Sure, everybody wants apples. I looked at one of the quotes from the article, and the fellow said that he thought that they had lost a lot of their apples. Now, you apparently didn't, but some people did, didn't they?
Some people did take a larger hit. It has to do with the way your orchard is set up and also what specific trees you're growing. There are some varieties that you can sneeze on them and their flowers are going to fall off. A little frustrating. But you also have your hardier stock that can take a little more temperature. They can take a little more rain, just like your regular garden hosta. It can take more. There are some trees that actually can take more. So that has a lot to do with it as well, what your stock is.
So what are you hearing from the neighboring orchards? Because you and I chatted the other day, and you mentioned you got orchards all around. You look all around,
yeah.
and you say that's because of the conditions up that way.
Well, it's the conditions up that way. It's also very conducive for the small farmer. There are small plots here for the individuals that want this rural life. A small apple orchard is a really great way to go. Within 500 yards of myself, there's three, and there's also U-Pick. This is a great area because of the soil and because it's just been agriculture for so long, and agriculture in a good way. So some of the smaller orchards have also diversified, but they also use methods as well. The much smaller ones can use sprinklers. You can pop it up to your house and let the sprinkler run. The thing is, you can't let it stop. Then it'll freeze.
Kathleen, can you explain that, though, for the people who are not gardeners and certainly not fruit tree growers? You're saying put on a sprinkler. Well, what does that do?
Well, for instance, one of the nights that there was frost, not ourselves, but if you can put a sprinkler on, the frost can't stop and damage. The product, the fruit plant, is moist. So therefore, the frost can't damage it because it never gets to that temperature. Another thing is at what time the frost hits. Not just the blossoms are susceptible, but also the buds themselves. Several years ago, we had buds that received frost. And, it's amazing how temperature can affect it at all ages. The Honeycrisp were delicious that year, but did not exactly look the prettiest, which was okay with me because they got more of them.
I love Honeycrisp. I think that's my favorite apple. But you were telling me why. What's the variety you like so much?
Well,
You were talking about the one that if you sneeze at it, it the blossoms drop off.
Well, of course, I can't say that now. there are several varieties I love, and for every different reason. I love the Cortland because it's white, and it really has an apple taste to it. And then you switch over to a well-seasoned Macintosh, and that's just going to give you a bit of a kick. A Senshu is beautiful with a little bit of a citrus to it. I was just flabbergasted by being able to walk around that orchard and taste and know what the apple tasted like right from the tree. There is nothing like it.
So the question before I break here, and then we'll bring in Rick DeMaio, is what kind of an effect is this going to have? Do you think that the cold weather this week plus the early blossoms on the apple trees have affected the crop, and to what degree?
Yes, they have affected the crop. There's no two ways about that. To what degree? It is not going to be like it was several years ago. 2 years ago, that was a big hit. I think all orchards and all farms in this area took a little lesson from that and prepared ourselves a bit better if and when it happened again, which 2 years later it did. Percent-wise, 75%, I don't see that being realistic.
Yeah, that's a figure I threw at you when we chatted yesterday, because what I had heard actually on this radio station on a news report that it was 75%, but that's not going to be that big a hit.
Well, 75%, if it was a real number, would be an enormous hit, yes. But you have to look at what size your orchards are, too. A smaller orchard, a higher percent hit on them is really going to affect them, and that's serious because they can't ride this out a few years. The small farmer, they need the higher percents. Our orchard, being that we have 12,000 trees, we have a new orchard that we're opening up. We have our established orchard of 11,000 trees. We can take a little bit more, because we have the volume to support it. We've also diversified with a corn maze and with pumpkins. And, so we're a little bit more flexible as a farm. Each individual, and the thing is, 75%, no, absolutely not. 50%, probably not for the whole gross of it. However, we will not know our numbers. We need to wait a few weeks. We got to see what happened and see what's going on.
Okay, great.
And then we'll be more solid. But come fall, everyone can come out apple picking.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they'll be even more valuable this year because people will be wondering what's there. So that is Kathleen Harder from All Seasons Apple Orchard. Hang on, Kathleen. We'll bring in Rick in just a second with our weather forecast. Do you prefer to bask in the sun or snooze in the shade? Sun and Shade DuraTurf mixes from Bonide are premium seed mixes that let you have it several ways. These no-fuss formulas will give you great turf in sunny, shady, and mixed areas, which means picnic time. Just make sure you invite me. The DuraTurf grass seed spreads easily and quickly repairs thin and bare spots. And they're 99.9% weed-free, so you have one less thing to worry about. Try Full Sun, Sun and Shade, and Dense Shade DuraTurf Premium Grass Seed Mixes by Bonide. You can find them at these local retailers, Allsip Home and Garden in Frankfort, Illinois, Atrium Garden Center in Lake Zurich, Illinois, Village Green locations in Rockford, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or your Droid.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally says if folks ask him how to grow large onions in their gardens, they're confused. They can't figure out how to make that happen. Well, onions need direct sunlight, They need good sun. Place them in full sun area of your garden. Dried onion bundles of white Spanish, yellow Spanish, candy, and Walla Walla are used to grow large onions, but they can also be used for scallions. Here's how you do it. If you want scallions, plant the onions 4 inches deep. If you want large onions, plant them only 1 inch deep, 4 inches apart, with the rows 1 foot apart. As the onions grow, resist the temptation to push them deeper into the soil. You're going to see it popping up. And you go, I got to get them under the soil. No. It's okay. When the ground starts to crack as the onions push the soil away, the bulbing process has begun as the onion reaches maturity. Stop fertilizing them about 3 weeks before harvest and then let them grow. They'll kind of like look like they're sitting on top of the soil. That's the secret. Stop fertilizing. Oh, I'm sorry. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Find the link to more of Dr. Wally's tips on the homepage at MikeNovak.net. When the night has come and we get the sprinklers on to keep things from freezing or going to the frost, let's bring in also, we've got, I just lost Kathleen. All I did was bring Rick up and bam, we lost her. That's okay. Rick DeMaio, are you there?
I am here, Mike.
We lost Kathleen. I turned on your line and she just went away. Dennis, let's get her quickly because we might have a couple more comments from her. You heard the conversation, Rick. By the way, thanks for tracking down Kathleen. So she's like you in that she hears the scare stories and and says, stop throwing figures around like 70. Right. We're going to lose 75% of the apples and that sort of thing. And you do the same thing.
Well, yeah, you got to know 75% of what. You know, and 75% of what type of apples and all those other sorts of things. It's just like severe weather. You know, I'm going into Channel TS and everybody's saying, oh, so we're going to have severe weather. We're going to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, it's not going to be here. It's not going to be that bad. It's going to be blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all about kind of phrasing and framing the situation so that people aren't misinformed. But we got some pretty decent rains last night. And like some of the rainfall totals looking at here on the Weather Service website, 2.9 inches up around Lake Zurich, 2.75 at Rockford, 2.79 at Crystal Lake, an inch and a half at Chicago Botanic Gardens. Here in Chicago, though, about 0.7 inches at O'Hare and about 0.6 inches at Midway. That was that lightning and thunder that kept, I think, a lot of people from getting a good night's sleep. Between about midnight and 2 a.m. Did you hear some of those loud booms, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was up when the storms rolled in. I was still working on today's show, so I got to witness it firsthand. But it was and they rolled through in waves last night.
It's typical of storms when they're moving north of the warm front from the west to the east, and they were generally moving to the northeast. But there were a couple loud cracks of thunder that you had no idea where it was coming from. And next thing you know, it was like, boom, right overhead. And that's typical because that means that you're actually on the back side of the storm system that's actually developing and moving north of us.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, you and I also chatted yesterday, and I had seen these news stories that said, oh, this is so unusual. We're going to be telling people about the severe weather 24 hours in advance. This is highly unusual. And you said, no, it's not. Not really. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a highly unusual event. We've seen these before. But I think the Storm Prediction Center has taken a little bit more of a proactive approach to how they present these situations to the public. And case in point, we had 122 reported tornadoes yesterday from Oklahoma through Kansas, parts of Nebraska. You look back at these events, and this event, granted, 5 people did perish, and that's 5 too many. But you take this event and you put it maybe 15 years ago, maybe 15 people would have died. You take this event, you put it back 25 years ago, maybe 30 people would have perished. And you take the same event and go 50 years ago, maybe 100 people would have died. But also, I think we got lucky because looking at every one of the long-track tornadoes appeared to move mainly over rural areas. So population sparsity is pretty much a factor of why fatalities generally tend to be low in Tornado Alley. Also, much of the violent storms occurred on a Saturday afternoon. A lot of people were up and about. A lot of people were able to see these storms. When you have events that occurred like what they did in late February and early May, or early March, rather, which were fast-moving, overnight, early in the morning, populated areas, it's really tough to get those warnings out. So pretty much everything went as well as could possibly go with this event, Mike.
Well, we're just about, I took up your time, but I thought the people might be interested in that report on the apples, and I just want to bring in again, Kathleen, you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for your time and for giving us a straight skinny about this. No sense being alarmist if there's no reason to be alarmed yet. We'll see what happens.
Exactly. It is that way with a lot of crops. Luckily for us, another thing I did want to mention is trees, in addition to location, size of crop really matters, meaning the actual size of the tree.
Yeah.
We have dwarfed trees. So, as the weatherman can tell you, colder temperatures drop, warmer up top. So our tree, our apples on top are in very good condition. The lower ones, we like the lower ones because that's why the 3- and 4-year-olds can actually reach them. And
that's
pick them.
Cool. Okay, I got to let you go, Kathleen. Rick, we're up against the forecast now.
Yeah, I think the best thing we need to tell people, and Kathleen's going to love this, is that the chance of a freeze between now and the end of the season is basically zero. Thunderstorms this afternoon could be severe between 4 and 9 p.m. Otherwise, temperatures near 80. Rest of the week looks quiet, Mike.
Okay, and temps where rest of the week?
Oh, generally right around 55 to about 65. Pretty much seasonal weather. But other than that, nothing in the way of any significant rain.
Excellent. Rick DeMaio, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak. No tiene la culpa. Amor de compra y venta, amor del pasado. Vende, vende, vende.
Oh, I got to stop dancing. Turn on the microphone. In the studio with me is a friend of mine. I'm very pleased to have back in. And this is your first time in the new digs.
The beautiful new digs.
The beautiful new digs here at Chicago's Progressive Talk. And that's Benjamin Cox, the executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. And we're going to have a conversation in a sec, which is, I think, going to get some people riled up. And I think they should be. I mean, Benjamin said he was listening on the way in to my rant. So, but that's, I'm allowed to rant. I don't know if you are so much. You've got other duties, but when I put my radio hat on, I am allowed to rant. So I'm pretty upset about it, and we'll talk about it more in just a couple of minutes. Now, if I can only find, what did I do with my notes? Of course, I've lost them all. No, here they are. But I want to, first of all, I have to tell people, and I don't know if you know about this, but my new television show's
Dig, oh, yeah.
Next Saturday. So this is the last Sunday before we launch on April 21st, Dig in Chicago, Gardening and Cooking. Jennifer Brennan from The Chalet, Horticulture Information Specialist, is my co-host. We're going to be on Comcast Cable, Channel 102. 10 a.m. gardener's time on Saturday. And what else can I say? I hope you tune in. Now, a lot of you don't have Comcast. That's okay. You can get it online. You can go to My Dig in Chicago, mydiginchicago.com. I'm also going to link it to my website, mikenovak.net. You'll be able to see episodes on YouTube that are linked to those sites. And never fear. And we'll just make it as widespread as we possibly can. And I hope you tune in next Saturday, 10 a.m., Comcast 102, Dig in Chicago. And I know Jennifer's listening this morning. I think she's on her way to work. Maybe she's already at work, so maybe she isn't listening anymore. And then next Saturday, I am, you know, this is my Saturday next week. I'm going to be at home watching Dig in Chicago at 10 o'clock and then scoot out of the house at 10:30 because I'm going up to Rockford to speak at Pepper Creek Greenhouse, 7295 Harrison Avenue in Rockford. And the name of the talk is, well, I guess their festival is like a 2-day thing. Is it easy being green? Actually, it's not. You have to work at it. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not so easy. You know, education helps. The more educated you are, the easier it is. But you can go to Facebook to Pepper Creek Greenhouse and get – and you know what I ought to do? And Kathleen, maybe you can – I know Kathleen's out there doing the tweets for me today. So kudos to Kathleen. On Facebook, we should do the link to Pepper Creek, and I will do that, Pepper Creek Greenhouse. So I'm going to be there at 1:30 on the 21st. And talking about, all, you know, whatever comes up. Usually it's I talk a little bit about soil food web, which, no, don't go to sleep on me. It is important. And how to make it easier to be green. So, I hope you join me up at Pepper Creek Greenhouse, 7295 Harrison Avenue in Rockford next Saturday, April 21st, 1:30 PM. Also, next week, the inimitable Beth Botts is speaking at the Grow Green in, actually she's speaking, I guess the topic is Grow Green in a Changing Climate, and it's Share the Harvest, and you'll hear an announcement about that later in the show. I want to make sure that I have that information right, too, and that's it's a project of Grace Seeds Ministry. The location is Mount Zion Lutheran Church, 10400 10400 South Costner in Oak Lawn. And she's speaking, I have 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, I kind of doubt that she's going to speak the whole 3 hours. Although I have done that. That's what we call a marathon. I have spoken for 3 hours, and that'll kill you. That'll kill you every single time. All right, here we go. And I've got the information that Mark Ernest sent me from WCPT, just so I make sure I've got it here. You know, of course, Beth Botts is an award-winning garden writer. She's the keynote speaker, so I assume then she goes at 10 a.m. And it's the Share the Harvest Spring Gathering, Grow Green in a Changing Climate. The free event will offer participants an opportunity to attend mini workshops that will help them learn how to grow a garden for bees and other pollinators, turn trash into golden compost. Well, trash meaning green trash, meaning, you know, your, I suppose, and food stuffs. I mean, I throw them into my compost bin. Choose plants that fit our new climate zone designation, 6A. But don't get too fooled by that, really. And improve garden yields with succession and interplanting. A simple lunch will be served and all are welcome. So you can stop in and see Beth. Again, Mount Zion Lutheran Church, 10400 South Costner. I don't know how they say that with five numbers. How would that be? 10400.
Right.
I don't know. There's the way you do that on the South Side when you have 10 numbers. There's a specific way you're supposed to do it. And I don't know what that is because I don't live on the South Side.
You just did it right, though. I live on the South Side.
10400? Is that how you?
10400.
Really? Okay. So I have the guy in the room can tell me. Beth Botts, and that's in Oak Lawn, Illinois. I think that kind of covers it. Benjamin Cox, great to have you here in the studio. I wish it were under better circumstances. Benjamin contacted me a couple of weeks ago. He said, you realize what's going on in Evergreen Park? I said, unfortunately, I didn't. And I'll tell you, Benjamin, I did a little Google search. Nobody else is covering it either.
No, it's been very, very light coverage.
I don't get it anymore. I got to tell you, I sit in this behind this microphone here in my little show, and basically it's me. You know, I'm a one-man band, and I'm looking around for stories, and people like you write to me and say, hey, were you aware of this? I mean, Tom Shepard from Southeast Environmental Task Force just has been writing to me about something else, which I might as well bring up because we communicated this morning, and that is Ninth Ward Alderman Anthony Beal is trying to overturn the landfill ban. Now, if you read his logic on it, which is just tortured logic, he's trying to preempt Dalton, which wants to do a land grab from the city of Chicago, and it's very convoluted. And you say, well, how could Dalton do a land grab from the city of Chicago? How's that even possible? And I can't imagine that Mayor Rahm Emanuel wants to be the guy who had a bunch of land stolen from the city. I mean,
but this is the same kind of thing that's going on in Evergreen Park. It's what, you know, it's all about who's in power and who benefits.
Right.
So in Evergreen, you've got on the one side of Western Avenue where they're going to develop this mall. It's way at the edge of their village. And if you cross Western Avenue, you're in Chicago. We're the ones that are going to have to deal with all the problems. And you've got this development from 91st to 93rd Street. 93rd to 95th is a Walmart Sam's Club. And at 95th Street, there's a dead shopping mall, mostly dead. There's still a few stores in there, but it's slated for redevelopment. You know, it's the same kind of thing. If you arrange it, you work on it ahead of time, you get our alderman who from the beginning looked at us and said, hey, it's a done deal. Lay off, you know.
Wait, the Evergreen thing?
The Evergreen thing.
Who's your alderman?
Matt O'Shea is our alderman.
So,
and he's come to every meeting we've ever had on this, and he talks to us, but he's always saying, hey, it's over. What do you want me to do? So I could see the same thing.
It was over before it even got started is what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
It's like Obama saying single payer is not on the table.
Right.
And so Alderman O'Shea said saving the trees is not on the table. What else do you want?
Right. Let's deal with traffic. So, and oh that, you know.
And that's, that alone would be reason not to do it. That's already a congested area.
It is. 95th and Western is highly congested.
Yeah.
And in fact, now they're talking about taking and reconfiguring the lanes and losing parking in Chicago on 95th Street, which will be bad for our businesses and only facilitate the movement of traffic to these new developments where the taxes wind up in the coffers of Evergreen Park and not Chicago, where we'll have to deal with the problems. And that's kind of the bigger issue here. I mean, all of it, I drove by there this morning. I can't even look that way anymore, and it's one of the main entrances in and out of my neighborhood.
Ugh.
It's just, I mean, it's a night and day. It's like a bomb went off. It's just a really horrible, horrible thing, and it's changed the whole tenor of the neighborhood.
So let's back up, and for people who are just hearing this for the first time, tell them exactly what – there was a golf course there, Evergreen Park Golf Course, and I know because a couple of decades ago I played a couple of rounds there, and it was a nice little course and, you know, not too spectacular because pretty much – enclosed by streets, traffic, you know, a very developed area right next to the city and an older suburb. But it had a lot of old growth tree.
We figure on the area that they cut, which is the property is bisected by a railroad track, and the area to the east is the one that's up against the busiest part, which is Western Avenue, and facing our neighborhood. We figure they cut at least 300 old growth oak trees. I mean, we're talking trees that have been there for over 100 years easily.
And some of the – I have a photo on my website because an arborist who was not part of the project, which is interesting, was just driving by and said, I got to get photos of this, and sent them to another arborist friend of mine. And he sent them to me and said, have you seen this? And I said, you know, yeah, I know about it. I hadn't actually seen it. If I had had time yesterday, I would have gone down and taken some photos myself just for today's show. But if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, you can see what's happened. And I think I've actually got it on the homepage. So the idea was there was this old golf course, and who owned – was that a municipal property?
No, it was a woman who at about 105 years old, right before she passed away, she put this deal together with Sterling Bay, the developers, and Scott Goodman's the principal of that development company. she had previously tried to sell the property to Home Depot, and they were going to put something on the whole property. And the village then jumped in and tried to use eminent domain to take the property. And this is where we all kind of got quiet. We thought, well, if the village isn't going to let her turn it into, you know, a development, then we're fine. They'll figure out something better to
right,
do with it.
Right.
Once she passes away, they'll keep it as a golf course, something like that. All of a sudden, last year, out of nowhere, this deal was done. It came out, you know.
Transparency in government.
Yeah. Zero transparency. I mean, they did a fine job of railroading this thing through. I got to give them credit. They really, really
okay,
did this
who's
well.
Who's they?
Evergreen Park, but in cooperation with county officials, in cooperation with, obviously.
So county commissioners were involved in this,
well,
too?
Well, I mean, I think they haven't done a lot to
stop
try and
it.
Stop
yeah.
it either. And the same thing, you know, our aldermen.
Because I keep seeing these names on your website, on the Friends of the Forest Preserves and on other sites, some citizen action websites.
Yeah.
And I keep seeing these people, and all I can think, because I am in privy to this, is who was stepping up?
Right.
You know,
I mean,
if anybody, you know, if Tony Preckwinkle had said, no, we want that land, do you think that the trees would have been chopped down?
Exactly. I mean, if the decisions were made, and that's the problem, this decision was made absent of consideration of the people across the street. And, you know, it's the same thing that you're talking about down in Dalton. You got Dalton versus Chicago. Instead of, let's talk about this on a regional basis, because we all live right next door to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't see some big green line going down the middle of Western Avenue that tells me that I've just crossed into the suburb.
Mm-hmm.
That's still my community, even though I'm not paying taxes over there. And it still has a tremendous impact on the quality of life in our neighborhood. But you got the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, you got the Illinois Department of Transportation, the Chicago Department of Transportation, you know, Cook County, Evergreen Park, City of Chicago. All these folks are players in this, and yet from the beginning it's been, oh well, it's a done deal. Developer bought it, they're putting this in, and the way that they sort of calm down the folks in Evergreen Park is by keeping the western half as a park. So now they're buffered by a park, which is wonderful that land is still being preserved. But they're sticking this development in our faces. And the problem is, like I said, two blocks away is a dead shopping mall at a much better intersection, that an intersection that's already designed to handle the kind of traffic that will come to that shopping mall if it's revitalized.
So there's so many parties that are culpable in this, it's kind of hard to keep track.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the developer. Give me the name. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you want more information about this, I've got it posted at MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show and start following. I couldn't put everything up there because a number of people have written that. And by the way, I don't know if you went to my website, but I've come up with the title for this whole thing. And I call it Nightmare on 91st Street.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Nightmare on 91st Street. And that's what we have. But you can link to the Beverly Improvement Association, because Beverly's, you know, the one that's going to suffer
right.
from this.
By design, it's shoved in our faces.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, once again, City of Chicago. So, you know, let's take advantage of the City of Chicago.
Right.
If you're in Dalton, yeah, we'll just dump stuff. We're going to claim the land that's in your city limit and resume dumping. And then you've got an alderman like Anthony Beale who, again, I tried to figure out his logic in doing it, because he thinks it'll actually help if he overturns the landfill ban, because then if Dalton claims it, we're ahead of the game somehow. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, and this is all about money. That's the problem. Our society is driven by money. And at some point, we got to figure, wait a minute. Money is definitely a factor, and jobs are definitely a factor. You can't ignore that. We live in Chicago. We don't live in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge or some other far-off protected place. So, but you've got to look at these green spaces, the Chicago River, the forest preserves, the free and clear lakefront. You've got to look at those as a prized jewel that must be protected as part of what makes this a good community to live in. So if when we let things like 45 acres next to the City of Chicago go because of a developer who wants to make some money, Scott Goodman at Sterling Bay, that's a travesty. Hey, Scott, I got an idea. Go two blocks away where there's a dead shopping mall. Go three blocks away where there's an empty Web Ford dealership. Go three blocks the other way to where there's an empty Borders bookstore. There's a lot of other opportunity in our community to redevelop. And you don't take priceless green space.
Priceless, and that's the word. It's
way
you can't get that back.
It's done.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the photo right now on my website of the oak trees felled, lying there. you don't get that back. And what?
You know, the
it just makes me so angry.
The
it just
one
makes
thing,
me so angry.
I mean, the one ray of hope, and you know, I'm an optimist to the end. And the bottom line is for the first 9,800 years since the glaciers left, trees came and went on these lands, you know, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
This past 100 years with these trees here is what human beings are really able to relate to time-wise because of our lifespans, I think. The thing is if we do stop the development and we're able to plant trees there, in 100 years, we'll have those same old-growth oak trees. But if they actually build on this property, that destroys the land.
Right. Then we're done.
Then
that,
we're done.
That's, yeah. So the
so
point—
Make your phone calls.
The point, well, and that's what I want to talk about. Who do they call? What do they say? Who do you want to get PO'd at for this? I mean, I'm PO'd at everybody. I'm mad at the politicians, the alderman, O'Shea, who let this happen. I'm angry at the board, Cook County Board, that let this happen. I'm angry of course, the real estate developer. What's the name of the company again?
Sterling Bay.
Sterling Bay. Okay.
Give them a call.
Give Meyer a call. I've got connection that you have on your website to Meyer and Menards. You email them and say, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and we had some conversations with them, at least with Menards, to say, why would you not want to be at a much busier intersection two blocks away? It doesn't make any sense. They're going to have to spend millions of dollars offsite on road improvements. These have nothing to do with the value of their property. And, you know, why wouldn't they spend that money two blocks? You know, they don't have to spend that offsite money. They could help redevelop this site, improve the property, and put it at a much better location.
If you've got a question or a comment, 773-763-9278 is our phone number, 773-763-9278. Just before I break, let's go to line one. And is that Mary in Forest Park?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, I've been better.
I was calling in about, I just turned on the radio this morning and was listening because I was on your show with Ben, a year and a half ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and about the illegal dumping that the county had been involved in and co-signed at the Miller Meadow Forest Preserve.
Right,
and
Miller Meadow. What was the nickname for Miller Meadow? Wasn't there a nickname for it? I don't remember.
That old Baldy was the was one of the things I think Ben called it, but one of the big areas out there. But there was that's a 90 acre site that was dumped on illegally by the county. And Preckwinkle's people, last I checked in with Ben, and he can correct me with on this, had agreed to an 8-point correction plan that that the Friends of the Forest Preserve had put forward on that site. And this is a whole set of different legal issues and environmental issues, and the site is different and everything. But I mean, it's this is dumping in on Forest Preserve land. So my blood pressure is going through the roof here as I'm listening to this news story about Evergreen Park, because we really got ahead of steam going and an actual lawsuit prepared and a notice to the county of intent to sue on behalf of the citizens of the county over this Miller Meadow issue, and that seems to be kind of dead in the water right now. So I'm frustrated.
So, yeah,
where do we go?
Yeah, exactly. You're feeling how I'm feeling, which is helpless, impotent about this, realizing that the money interests win almost all the time because there's no transparency, and they waltz in and they decide how we're going to live our lives, whether we're going to have trees in our lives or not, or whether we're going to have open spaces. I mean, the idea that we would take away open space, we're past that. We're like 40 years past where we should be making those kinds of developments. And I call, you know, those are suburban developments in the city. That's the other thing is this.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
This idea.
Fit.
No, it doesn't fit.
And that's the thing. If they would have designed this development in such a way that it was green and walkable and bikeable and lots of trees and permeable pavers and that kind of thing. I think we would have lost a whole bunch of the people that stood up and fought with us when we saw all they're doing is the same thing that's right next door at the Walmart Sam's Club, a rolling topography of pavement with little plastic bag tumbleweeds rolling all over the place. I mean, that's what we're going to have, big bright lights and pavement, and that's it. You know, they had an opportunity to make something that was much more fitting for this urban situation.
You know, and I asked earlier, I said, Myers and Menards, what are you going to do for us? What? Okay, you just took away the land. You're going to develop on it. You want people to come into your damn store. What are you giving us in return? What are we getting? You're going to even give us permeable pavers? What are you going to do? Put a garden on the roof? What? That nobody could go up to except your employees?
I mean, if they did that stuff, at least it's something we could say, all right, you know, and you make sure that there's high quality stores. There's a lot more than just those two going into this location. There's, even though they don't have anybody signed on at all, not even Myers and Menards yet, they have letters of intent, but they haven't even signed leases and they're already destroying the land.
Well, Mary, I've got some other callers. I guess we other people are getting a little upset too. So thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry, you know, keep me posted on what's going on out your way, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, Ben, I just about picked up the phone last week to give you a call for an update.
So. All right, yeah. Well, the update is that there is a plan for remediation at Miller Meadow, and they're starting to implement it. So that will be some semblance of a forest preserve again sooner than later. Preckwinkle's people are doing the right thing.
Good.
There.
Glad to hear that. Mary, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. We got a couple of other calls here. I want to get to them, but let me take care of some business. I know what you're thinking. You don't trust spring in Chicago anymore. Well, if you'd been smart, you wouldn't have trusted spring in Chicago in the first place. You need a copy of the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. This issue will help you cope with the vagaries of a Chicago spring, record-setting or not. Our own Beth Botts, who's going to be speaking next week, we talked earlier. She tells you how to choose the best potting mixes for your containers. Hint, cheaper is not better. Even if you don't like asparagus, and if you don't like it, well, give yours to me, you have to admit that it's one of the coolest-looking vegetables in the garden, and it's a perennial. What's not like to like? What's not to like? There's a story on how to choose the best varieties and grow your own. One of the best things about this issue is that it comes with the annual resource guide. Heck, that's another whole magazine. And, of course, there's my column on the inside back page. Heck, it's from a whole nother planet. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600 or chicagolandgardening.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
We were just saying off-air another... Plant Skid is a great product, by the way. It really works. I was over at Jennifer Brennan's place a couple of weeks ago, and she was showing me her front garden, and there was a rabbit sitting on the neighbor's lawn. And she said, that rabbit won't come near my garden. And it was just looking at us. And I said, why? And she said, I use Plant Skid. I got Plant Skid. And the rabbit, they now circle around my garden, and they won't come there. So, you know, I said, we got to shoot a commercial here for that. But Ben... and I were saying, just cut down all the trees and rip up the park and Pave it over and put a Menards and a Meijer in there. You'll get rid of your rabbits. Are you tending to some tender transplants this gardening season? Then intend to pick up some liquid solution from Dr. Earth. It will provide essential plant nutrients and stimulate root growth, flowering, and regrowth of stressed plants. This organic fertilizer, great for use on fruits and vegetables, trees, shrubs, vines, flowering ornamentals, container plants, hydroponics, and turf, is designed to enhance growth and correct micronutrient deficiencies. Liquid solution is just one of the many organic products from Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to see more and find a dealer near you. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth.
Saturday, April 21st from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please join us at the Share the Harvest Spring Celebration. The event will be held at Mount Zion Lutheran Church, 10400 South Costner in Oak Lawn. You can learn how to grow a garden for bees, turn trash into compost, and improve your garden yields. The featured speaker is Beth Botts. Ms. Botts has written thousands of articles and blog posts as an editor and reporter for the Chicago Tribune and a freelance writer for magazines such as Organic Gardening, Chicagoland Gardening, and The American Gardener. Share the Harvest, a project of Grace Seeds Ministry, grows fresh produce to share with hungry neighbors. The project is a direct, hands-on response to poverty in our communities. For more information, please call Reverend Michael Kirby, pastor of Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church in Chicago. Good Shepherd is a growing partner with Share the Harvest. The phone number is 773-585-1094. That's 773-585-1094.
Open Lands wants to alert you to a bill. See, every time we turn around, Benjamin Cox, there's something. This is like an assault. It's like a constant assault on the environment. You know, and often the argument is, yeah, but we need jobs. You know what? Jobs come and go. Those things fluctuate over time. The economy ebbs and flows. But once you take away the land, it's gone.
Yeah, and there's vast tracts of land in the city that are empty. Why don't we look at those?
Yeah.
Land that's already been developed and now it's lost and kind of sitting there. Why don't we redevelop the stuff that we have? Strengthen our communities.
Yes. And OpenLands wants to alert you to a bill recently approved by the Illinois Senate. I was talking to Jennifer Walling at the Environmental Council about this because it's coming up for a vote, I think, this week. It was approved by the Illinois Senate that poses a great threat to our state's environmental regulations, which are designed to protect people from harmful pollution and ensure companies clean up their mess. SB 3414, write that down, SB 3414, changes the purpose of these environmental regulations, you're going to love this, by allowing private companies to argue that their costs of compliance are, quote, a threat to public interest, safety, and welfare. This is 1984 stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing here I think that's so just wrong is that these companies come in and they take our community resources and they take advantage of them and they make a profit. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. But they should have to give back to, and they should have to be responsible citizens.
Yes.
So Mr. Menard up there in Wisconsin and the Meijer brothers in Michigan, they wouldn't let this stuff happen in their own backyard. So why should we let it here? Scott Goodman up in Winnetka or Glencoe or whichever North Shore suburb he lives in, he wouldn't put this development in his backyard. But, so why should we have to put up with
right,
that down here?
Exactly. And getting back to SB 3414, the changes to the law would prioritize protecting polluters' profits rather than protecting people from getting sick. If SB 3414 becomes law, big polluters in Illinois will be able to use it to skip, delay, and skirt our most important environmental regulations. We can still fight this bill in the Illinois House. Take action today. And I looked at the vote. When I got the information on this in the Senate, it was 52-0. And I talked to Jennifer Walling, and I said, well, why, you know, if it's such a bad bill, why are they all voting for it? She said, a lot of them didn't even read it. They don't even know what's in it. Like, do you guys do your jobs anymore?
Well, and they do rely on citizens to call them and let them know what's going on. So as you're calling about that bill, tell them you don't want them to issue an IDOT permit for the development at 91st and Western 2.
We'll get to that.
They called it, but I mean, that's the thing that bothers me the most. People feel powerless in these situations. Each individual person might be, except make your phone calls to your elected officials, tell them what you want. They get five phone calls and it's a landslide.
That's true.
But people don't call them. Yeah. So call them and tell them what you want. It's really a powerful thing to do.
Take action today by telling your state representative to vote no on SB 3414 to ensure the integrity of our environmental regulations. Go to openlands.org to get more information about how to contact your state legislator. Please, please do it today. The vote's coming up this week. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Go to openlands.org for more information about that. That voice you're hearing is Benjamin Cox, who's the executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. Wow, the lines have lit up.
They are flashing.
Let's take them. We'll do some quick phone calls here. We go to Santo, the bus driver. Santo, always a pleasure to have you on the Mike Novak Show.
Okay, Mike, you're not going to like what I got to say, but
go for it.
I listen to you every week, and, you know, you're the greatest, but I think you're biting off the hand that feeds you right here. You got to remember, Myers and Menards are just the people that take the next step after the politicians sell us all out. They rezone the land. They look at the 5-year, 10-year, 20-year game plans. They know what's in it for them. They know how their constituents, whether they funnel it to their kids or their cousins or whatever, and how much they can make off of it and how much they can rape us.
Okay.
It's not Myers and it's not Menards. They create jobs, and I understand they put these big parking lots, and I see it all the time. I drive around, I see there's parking lots, there's empty Best Buy goes out of business. They close 30X amount of stores. Now these become wastelands, and they're, you know, I understand the big picture. But it's the politicians that the people need to know that are the ones that are the masters of our destiny, and if they choose to pocket the money first and worry about themselves and us second, third. Oh, you know, the citizens, they'll pay for it because you want to live here. You can't leave. Property values are bad. You got to stay here. So we'll just keep taking more and more taxes and more out of the people's pockets and use jobs as a something off on the side over here. But the jobs are, you can't even raise families on them. Everybody's
15-hour jobs.
You know what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, no. And Benjamin's nodding, and I'm
always a politician.
Yes, it is. But
those bills, they put those bills, and they bunch those bills up, and a lot of times you don't see what's inside those bills. I mean, there's a motorcyclist here in Abate of Illinois. A lot of times we're fighting bills that are put inside of bills that are put inside of bills.
I hope you're not driving right now, Santo. I hope you're not driving. You're pretty worked up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sitting in a parking lot over here.
Okay, good.
Parking lot over here.
And you're absolutely right that it starts with the politicians who do not have our best interests at heart and are bought and sold.
Do.
And you know, I won't say 100%, but far too many. Still, there's a lot of culpability here. There's a lot of people in the chain. And for me, I'm not going to let Meyer and Menards off the hook because they're allowed to have
Meyer and Menards. It could be Walgreens. It could be anybody.
These companies could come in. Companies could come in and do the right thing. They could say, we're not coming into a development that looks like that. This is 2012. We're coming in. We want to come into a development that fits the community and that's green.
Yeah, you know,
didn't bulldoze down those trees. That was all predetermined by somebody else.
Yeah, but they're only doing it because they're only bulldozing on those trees because they know they're coming. If they weren't coming, they wouldn't be doing it because they wouldn't have the money to fund the project.
Santo, great comment. I'm going to let you go.
Talk with you, Mike. I listen to you every week, man. You're the best.
And you're the best too, Santo. I really appreciate your call. Bye bye. 773-763-9278. Let's go back to the phones and see if that. There we go. And that is Mike in Waukegan. Mike, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You know, the whole thing is you hear those, the USDA spots about, you know, I consider them disingenuous, you know, about the emerald ash borer beetle and how much destruction it causes. What about the greedy, voracious developer beetle that works in tandem with the venal politician weasel. I think, how many trees do they destroy? I've seen it up here. You know, the whole thing about gentrification. You know, they'll blight. They'll call the land blighted. They come in, they clear cut it, put up a shopping mall. Then the one down the street that's a ghost town, and it just keeps moving
just
further
rots.
out. And I've seen them clear cut trees here beautiful old growth stands, oaks, clear cut, and nothing. There's the land right now, there's nothing set in. It's just moonscaped, that's all. And I think they should be responsible for having to, in other words, it's an externality, right? They're taken from the community, and they should have to replace every one of those trees, I think, in a forest preserve or someplace.
I'll tell you, Mike, I'm getting some blowback on this. I'm looking on Twitter. I haven't really caught up with Facebook at the moment, but people saying you can't blame Menards and Meyer. I'm sorry, they're on the list. They might be at one end of this food chain, and where the politicians are at the top of it. But the developers somewhere somebody has to step up and say no. And as Santo pointed out, there's going to be other companies ready to move into the vacuum and take this over. But if enough people say no, maybe they'll think twice about just taking those trees down and paving over the property.
Right. Yeah, see, now they pave over it. You hear all these people talk about global warming and, how we're adding all this CO2 to the environment, and that promotes plant growth, which is true. But plants can't grow where there's blacktop and concrete.
Exactly.
That kind of precludes that, doesn't it?
It sure does. Mike, great comments. Thank you so much. And have a good Sunday. I want to get to some more of these phone calls. 773-763-9278. Let us go to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Thanks for taking the call. I'm enjoying the show. And, I have to disagree a little bit with the folks who are saying it's not, about Menards. If this were a company that had had a decent environmental record, that would be one thing. But John Menards, who is the wealthiest man in Wisconsin, is a notorious environmental lawbreaker, including personally transporting chromium and arsenic contaminated ash from his factory in Chippewa Falls, bringing it in bags to his own home and having garbage men pick that up. That was all videotaped by the Wisconsin DNR, and he was fined $1.7 million for that. It's also the company that had intentional open sewers in their facility up in Chippewa Falls, directly into the Chippewa River, which they intentionally dumped hazardous waste, used waste oils and all sorts of other things into it. They just got fined $30,000 last year for dumping herbicide on one of their little green spots in the middle of one of their parking lots up in Onalaska, Wisconsin. So this isn't about, there's bad politicians and it's money, and those are things that are always going to be there. This is about individuals making specific decisions to flaunt environmental laws, to hemorrhage money to the very corporations that are working in Washington 24 hours a day to gut these laws, and then to violate them when they do get their permits. So, it is about Menards. It's about John Menards. People can look him up and read about it, look at the indictments and the fines that were levied, and then make a decision as to whether that's the kind of company they want in their community.
Yeah, and Dave, thank you for – I saw that you had sent me the attachment about Menards, and I was going to get to that, but I'm glad you called and did it in your own words, which is works for me. I want to try to get to one more phone call, and I really appreciate you listening and giving us some insight into the company that's moving in. Let us – hold on. I should hang up. Wait. Oh, I want to make sure I get the right one. Oh, there we go. Let us go to the phones, and this is Bernie in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with what's going on there, and they snuck us in because on 91st Street, I think it's 91st, they had a bunch of heavy equipment there, and I knew there was going on. But the one I really would like to get is that alderman from that Chicago area. He ought to have we ought to boot him so hard in the rear end. Here's what I look at it. I think this is racism because Evergreen is changing. They're not as apt to be screaming and yelling. That alderman from Chicago wasn't screaming and yelling. And now, if this was going to go on in Wilmette, do you think those trees would have been cut down?
Well, that's not racism. That's economics. You know,
I call it racism because what they're doing is they're doing this. And when you drive around the Chicago area and you look and go to Hinsdale and see the beautiful trees in the parking lots and that, and then you go into a poor area and they can squeeze as much pavement out, they'll do it. If they have to chop down Christmas trees just to get that extra inch, and they know that the people there are poor, they're not going to be complaining, they're not going to be screaming. This is a real tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and I appreciate your phone call, Bernie. I got to move on. I'm running out of time, but thanks a lot for calling. And you were kind of perplexed with Bernie's comment. You really don't see it as
well. I see where he's going though with the idea that in certain communities things are acceptable and other ones they're not. I mean, you can go out to some of the
and that's what I would say. It's more about class.
Yeah, it's a class thing, and it's the standards that the politicians in those communities set forth and demand. And I think everybody's been saying that today. Mm-hmm. And the only power that we have over those politicians is for us to call them and tell them what we want.
All right, and I'll tell you what. Let me take care of some business when we come back. We're going to tell people how to take action.
Good.
All right, if they're upset about this. I mean, it's not too late. It doesn't have to. The trees are gone, most of them, but in that 45 acres, but it's still not paved over. So perhaps something else maybe somebody can get whooped upside the head and wake up.
Well, and we can plant 2-inch trees like you were talking about earlier on your show.
That's right. That's right. With the 300-pound root ball.
Okay. You and I will do the first
one. All right,
one,
good. Right? We will. Now, we all know that landscaping can help improve property's value, but are you looking for some professional advice on what to do with your own plot? A free gardening seminar at Pesci's is this coming Saturday. A lot going on 21st of April. From 9 to 10 a.m., we'll tackle how you can solve planting problems and increase property values with the look of professional landscaping. Hugh Davis, local sales representative for Willoway Nurseries, will lead an open discussion about how to best beautify your lot using trees and shrubs as well as perennial plants. Bring your photos of your property, measurements, and ideas for Hugh to work with. Even bring photos of other landscape areas that you admire, and Hugh can identify those plants for use at your home. This free seminar coming this Saturday, April 21st, 9 to 10 a.m., will take place in the beautiful and spacious educational auditorium at Pesci's in Des Plaines. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more info, visit them online at pesci's.com. Pesci's, 3 generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Are the critters in your yard eating better than you? Pick up some Bonide Repelzol animal repellent. Repelzol is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep those nibbling rabbits, squirrel, deer, chipmunks, and raccoons away from your garden display. Hey, maybe you could use it to keep developers away from your garden. I think it might work. Unlike other commercial repellents, Repelzol has no unpleasant odor and is effective for up to 2 months guaranteed. Repelzol naturally natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. And it also works to prevent animals from chewing on fences and other questionably delicious structures. Rapelzol is available in ready-to-use liquid formulations and easy-to-spread granules. Look for Rapelzol products at these fine stores. Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois, Berthold's Flower Barn in Elk Grove, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for use on your iPhone or Droid. Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves, before we leave, before I let you go, how can people get involved in this issue? It's still not too late, right?
Right. So they haven't built it yet. If we can stop them from building it, we can replant. Call your state rep or your alderman and tell them not to issue the IDOT permit. That's the road.
The alderman is O'Shea in particular in that area.
Right.
State rep who
each one of your own state representatives should be called.
Really?
Let them know that you don't want to see this IDOT permit go through because it's just going to increase congestion in a place that already has too much.
So it's IDOT that has needs to approve of this. It's like
they need to give a permit.
It's like at Starved Rock where we're waiting for the IDNR to approve the sand mine, the open pit sand mine next to
Exactly.
Starved
Rock. And then your alderman has control over the Chicago Department of Transportation permit that needs to go along with this also.
So any alderman.
Any alderman.
You just call your alderman and say, what the heck is going on down in Evergreen?
Why are we spending Chicago taxpayer dollars to solve an Evergreen Park issue?
And also, you have places where you can write letters. If you want to write to Meyer, I've got that on my website, or Menards. There's a petition that you can click on my website.
And every time you sign it, an email goes straight to Meyer Menards.
Really? On that petition?
Yes.
Good. And more information, I've got your website, Friends of the Forest Preserves, /advocate/act-now. But the link is on my website, so people can go there. Or just go to www.fotfp.org, and you'll go to the link at the top.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's actually right there at the bottom, too.
Yeah.
The other two people I want to mention, again, Scott Goodman at Sterling Bay. Ask him if he'd do this in his own community and why is he doing it to us and what can he do to make this better for us. And the last one that we haven't even mentioned is Penny Pritzker. Penny Pritzker is a funder of this project. That's how they were able to buy the land. Here she is, the Pritzker family that does so well, you know, does so good for Chicago everywhere else. But here in this little hidden pocket, they're funding a project here. And actually, they're real big proponents of green, good architecture throughout the country. They were just giving out awards last weekend for that here in Chicago. And yet they're letting this slip through. Why is that happening?
And I thought
so. They want something better.
Yeah, I don't know. What are the Pritzkers doing involved in this? Yeah. It's just that this is not their MO, it seems. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
And, of course, you can donate to the cause at the BIA.org or at the Friends of the Forest Preserves website. We're teaming up on this. Again, the Beverly Improvement Association and the Friends of the Forest Preserves.
And all those links are on my website. Benjamin Cox, Executive Director, Friends of the Forest Preserves. Always glad to have you in studio. Wish it were under better circumstances.
Yeah.
But, hey, we have just begun to fight.
I think the next time I'm back, we should talk about all the wonderful improvements that are happening at the Forest Preserve. There's positive things.
All right.
Our work's paying off. Just like my good friend Margaret Frisbee here was here earlier talking about the improvements of the river. We can talk about how the Forest Preserves are getting better, too.
You know what? Good news. We'll do the good news next time. Thanks for being in the studio. And coming up in just a second, Anna Garcia Doyle with the One Earth Film Fest. Now, spring is blooming at Allsip Nursery, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. A great selection of beautiful fruit trees and bushes is now in stock. You'll also find cold hardy pansies at Allsip. Plant them outside now in garden beds or containers for a burst of color. Pansies are one of the few frost-tolerant annuals, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. And if you want to have the best lawn in town, well, you need to go to Allsip and pick up some organic fertilizer, grass seed, weed controls from Jonathan Green, Allsip's preferred and recommended brand. Now, you can apply Jonathan Green crabgrass preventer plus green-up lawn fertilizer to green your lawn and control crabgrass. Well, again, as I mean, it's in there, but you could still use it. It's a great fertilizer. It might not have so much effect on crabgrass right now because we're past the germination stage for that. Just letting you know. You can get to Allsip Nursery soon. In Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80. And in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30, also online at Alsip, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. PlantSkid.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It doesn't matter if the season is winter or spring or summer or fall. If you have mature trees in your yard, you just might want to have the Care of Trees phone number handy. They can't restore your power after a big storm, but they do have 24-hour emergency service, and they can take care of your damaged trees. Many people don't understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees yourself, especially if a tree falls on a car, other structures, power lines, or even other trees. The Care of Trees offers 24-hour emergency service to assist in performing the job safely while minimizing further risk to your property. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Okay, we're wrapping up the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let us go back to the phones and bring in Anna Garcia Doyle. I apologize, Anna. We're not going to have a whole lot of time, but we'll get the word out here. It's as you can hear, there's lots going on in the world.
No, that's great, Mike. Thank you for having us in any case.
And you're part of the One Earth Film Fest presented by Green Community Connections, and it's going to run 27th to 29th. And it's not just in one place. It's all around Oak Park and River Forest. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I think that's the power of it, is that it's not consolidated. It's distributed. And so we hope people are overwhelmed by the number of choices in green films that they have to see over the weekend of the 27th to 29th this month.
How did you select them? How did you decide what films you, and how many films did you say you're going to have?
So we're going to have about 35 films. Some are short form, some are long form, all over Oak Park and River Forest, just bordering Chicago. And we've got some special programs for kids, and we've got local programs from filmmakers that are from the Chicago area. Chris Bentley doing Angela's Garden, which is a West Garfield Park / Austin neighborhood film, and Jeff and Jennifer Spitz, who do a film called Food Patriots about food and health. So there's the local tie, there's the kids tie, there's something for everyone. And the way that we chose these films was really to try to find things that were thought-provoking, possibly transformative. If people don't feel transformed, maybe at least they'll be entertained. And things that really kind of focused on the power of human involvement, which is to say, you know, anything that was sort of solution-oriented really caught our eye.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the titles. A Fierce Green Fire, The Battle for a Living Planet, Angela's Garden by the local filmmaker, A Sense of Wonder, a clip to be featured in a Rachel Carson tribute program, Dirt, uh-huh. Dirt the Movie, Food Patriots, Fresh, New Thinking About What We're Eating, Fuel, about our addiction to oil, obviously, Greenwashers, about our addiction to PR.
Yes, that's right.
And Wasteland, about our addiction to throwing stuff away. I mean, it's just on and on and on. It's an environmentalist paradise, I guess.
Yes, we hope. We hope people feel that way. We're kicking off on Arbor Day. Arbor Day as well. The 27th ends up being Arbor Day, so that's our green carpet gala. And quite appropriately, it'll take place at the Oak Park Conservatory because we'll be talking about trees. We'll be screening a film from the Field Museum called Restoring Earth and another one, a short called
I Wish I Went to Ecuador, which is a film by an animator called David Bunting, and they both celebrate trees, rainforests, and conservation. So we really hope to have a great kind of tree celebration as a kickoff.
So that's the Green Carpet Gala is April 27th, Friday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Oak Park Conservatory. If you want to see any of these films, go to my website. The link is there. The suggested donation for all of them is only $5, but you want people to register in advance.
That's right. We have one film that's paid, Wasteland. That's showing at the Lake Theater in Oak Park. But everything else really is suggested donation. With the Green Carpet Gala, there are tickets to go.
Anna Garcia-Dora, thank you so much. I hope people show up, all right?
Me too.
Thanks for being on board. Bye-bye. That's it. All I can say is go green or go home.